There are a couple of key verses from today's gospel, and the theme is light. And those verses are, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And the Lord says in another verse, I have come as a light into the world, but whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So just three questions for us today, three short questions, a few minutes on each. First of all, where do we see this concept of light in the scriptures? Secondly, why is the Lord Jesus Christ described as light? And thirdly, what is your and my response to that light? So first of all, where do we see light in the scriptures? The Bible begins and ends with light. So from the start we read, then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God divided the light from the darkness. But it also ends, one of the last few verses of Revelation, there shall be no night there, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And between Genesis and Revelation, we see this pattern of light symbolized in various ways and taking various forms. So we have, for example, physical light. So Solomon, for example, says, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. Remember when the Israelites were in Egypt and there was a plague of darkness in the Israelites' homes? The scripture says all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings, physical light. We also see the light of worship. Remember in the tabernacle, the Lord commanded Moses and the Levites to keep the lamps trimmed day and night. And he commanded Moses to bring pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. Another type of light is the light that Job talks about, and that's the light of God's favor. When he was remembering the prosperity he once had before the Lord had afflicted him, he says, his lamp shone on my head, and by his light, so his favor, I walked in darkness. And remember when Haman wanted to wipe out the Israelites? In the book of Esther, when they were celebrating, the Bible says that to celebrate God's favor on them, they had light and honor and joy and gladness. Probably fitting for Mother's Day, light is also referred to in the Bible as guidance. The guidance of parents is light or lamp for the children. Solomon writes, for the commandment of parents is a lamp, and their law is light. And if you fail to respect your father and mother, Solomon says, your lamp will go out in utter darkness. Light and darkness. Just a few more examples before we go on to our second question of why the Lord is our light. We also see light symbolizing domestic life, so life at home. Remember when Elisha visited the wealthy woman and he made a room for him to stay in? What did she give him? She gave him a bed, a chair, a desk, and a lamp. And in the book of Jeremiah, when God was judging Israel, he says, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp I will take from you. So all these things, physical light, light of worship, the light of favor, the light of guidance, the light of living at home, even the light of a faithful woman. Remember Proverbs chapter 31. The woman who looks after her household, Solomon writes, her lamp does not go out at night. So all these references to light being various things, which takes us to the second question. So why is the Lord Jesus Christ described as light? Well, firstly, according to the Jews, one of the Messiah's titles was light. The people who walked in darkness, Isaiah says, have seen a great light. So the Jews were always expecting the Messiah to be light for them. And in fact, when David was on his deathbed, one of his last prophecies was about Christ, and he describes him as light. He shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. This is David describing the Lord, describing Christ. A morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Just like when you wake up after a night of rain and there's the sun shining brightly, the sky is clear, no clouds. David says that is exactly what Christ is like and what he does. But Christ is also described as light because he's a revealer. And he revealed three things to us. He revealed who God was. He revealed who we were, in other words, our sinfulness. And he also revealed the beauty of living with him. And the third and deepest sort of reason why some writers talk about why the Lord is described as light is they say light is constituted, for those of you who know physics, of seven rays or seven colors. What are they? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And some commentators say just like these seven colors blend and form light, there are seven things about Christ that blend and make him beautiful and shine bright like light. They are his love, his holiness, his wisdom, his justice, his omnipresence, his omniscience, or all-knowing, and his omnipotence, or all-power. So these seven beautiful features of the Lord blend together just like the seven rays of sunshine blend together to form light. And that's why Isaiah says, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. And finally, before we start talking about what is your response and my response to that light, we describe Christ as light because of what he did. St. Chrysostom says something beautiful. He says, on Good Friday, the sun wasn't put out. The sun was darkened not because it was put out, but because the light of the cross outshone or surpassed the light of the sun. So thirdly, in the last few minutes, what is your response to this light? So we've spoken about light in the scriptures. We've spoken about why the Lord is described as light. So what is your response? All of you have heard of Plato, famous mathematician, philosopher, student of Socrates. He said something along these lines. He said this: we can forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. And you know what? In John chapter 3 verse 19 we see exactly the same message. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If you walk, whenever you go for a walk through the forest, if you kick over a log, what happens? You see all the insects and the bugs scurry from under the sort of a hollow log. Why? Not because they're afraid of you, but because they're repulsed by the light. They were in darkness, they were comfortable, and then all of a sudden there's this light beaming on them, and they flee and they scurry. The question for us today is there some darkness in our life that is repelling the light of Christ? Remember, the Lord says, if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So what darkness in your life this morning is repelling the light? Is it the darkness of hatred? Is it the darkness of lust? Is it the darkness of pride? Is it the darkness of laziness? Is the darkness of disobedience? Is it the darkness of a relationship you should not be in? Is it the darkness of greed for money? Is it the darkness of division with others in your family or in the church? Is it the darkness of sexual immorality? Is it the darkness of anything else that is stopping you from coming to Christ? And maybe this morning you're going through a season of darkness. Many of us really remain in darkness for a very long time, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But we go through seasons of darkness. And St. Paul says, expose this darkness. All things are exposed and made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. St. John the Dwarf was a desert father, and if you go to the monastery of St. Macarius, you can see his relics. He says this, he says, there are two things we can choose. We can choose a light burden, or we can choose a heavy burden. The light burden is self-accusation. Realize that you're in darkness and accuse yourself. The heavy burden is self-justification, to say, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm living in darkness and I'm happy, I'm fine. Which are you going to choose today? Which burden are you going to choose? One is lighter than the other. To realize you're in darkness and come to the light is lighter than to defend and remain being in the darkness. Origen says, in every man's heart there is an altar, and on that altar prayers should be offered. But just like in the tabernacle, on that altar there should also be sacrifices. And he says, the bullocks of pride should be slaughtered with the knife of meekness, arms of anger, goats of luxuries, and passions are killed. Let the soul know how to establish a permanently illuminating lampstand. And that's the invitation today. The Lord is saying, I have come as a light into the world. I am coming as a light into your heart. I want to be the lampstand in the tabernacle of your heart, just like there was a lampstand burning night and day in the tabernacle in the book of Exodus. Are we going to allow him to permanently illumine our heart? And that's why every morning the church is wise, because in the first hour of the Igbia and the absolution, in the first hour litany, we read, O God, the true light, let the senses and the light shine upon us, and let us not be covered by darkness. And remember Moses, who stepped down from Mount Sinai. What happened when he stepped out from the mountain after being in the presence of God? His face shone. And the scriptures say they had to put a veil over Moses' face because it was shining brightly with the light of God. I'll conclude with this. St. Gregory the Theologian, on this subject of approaching the Lord to be enlightened and not letting your darkness stop you, says this. Therefore, approach him and be enlightened. Do not let your faces be ashamed, being signed with the true light. It is a season of new birth. Let us not remain as we are, but let us become what we once were. And glory be to God forever and ever.